gets a comprehensive look at some of its facilities, and a magazine makes an ill advisement about paralytic shellfish poisoning. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Representative Bill Thomas said Tuesday he's, quote, 99% sure he will request a recount in the House District 34 race. Thomas lost re-election by 34 votes to Sitka Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins. Division of Elections Director Gail Fanumiai certified the race on Friday. She said Thomas has until the end of the day Wednesday to file a request for a state-funded recount. Thomas did not want to speak on tape Tuesday, but he said while he's fairly certain he'll request a recount, he's been more focused on the loss of David Stone, who died suddenly last week. Stone was a deputy commissioner of the state's Department of Labor and Workforce Development and former Juneau deputy mayor. Thomas called Stone a close friend for the last 10 years. He said out of respect for Stone, he took a few days away from the election fallout before deciding whether to request a recount. Republican Bob Bell also said Monday he will seek a recount in his race against Anchorage Democrat Senator Hollis French. Bell lost to French by a margin of 51 votes. Fanumiai has said a recount in the House District 34 race would take less than a day to conduct. Here's an interesting thought. If the Haynesboro was to renovate or even rebuild the public safety building, the borough could save $19,000 a year in energy operating costs. And that's nothing compared to the savings of a more energy-efficient Chilkat Center or even the swimming pool, where savings could top $51,000 a year if it was rebuilt to current standards. Those are just some of the findings of an Anchorage architecture firm hired by the borough to conduct a facility planning report. Jason Gamache and John Weir of McCool, Carlson, and Green presented their findings Monday evening in Haines. Gamache said it's up to the facility steering committee, borough, and public to decide how to use the information to go forward with a plan for its facilities.
Ultimately, we're giving you the data and the information to make some decisions, and we're going to work together to kind of find that roadmap to get there. But by no means am I here to tell you what to do or how you should go about your business.
The work is part of the Haines 2015 project, developed to take a comprehensive look at borough facilities and create a plan for how to address some of the concerns with older or ailing buildings. Gamache explained Monday evening how he used a collection of data from several sources to compile his report. Some, like the recent survey sent to Haines residents, considered what he called the emotional attachment and public opinion of borough services and the buildings that house them. Gamache also used a survey of program directors about their concerns of the facilities and how well they serve their program needs. Then Gamache conducted a condition analysis and research condition assessments already completed on some buildings. He said the combination of all these sources encompassed the emotional, the pragmatic, and the technical assessments of seven of the borough's most concerning facilities.
One of the goals of my project was try to help the borough make a business case for moving forward, and working with Lanice and these other components to take the business case, blend it with sort of the emotional case into something that's practical and tangible and will help us move forward.
In his presentation, Gamache went through an outline of each of the buildings, outlining the basic specs, what work has been done recently, and the outstanding renovations still needed. Most of the buildings were labeled in fair or poor condition by Gamache. Only one, the administration building, earned a good rating. On the other end of the spectrum is the public safety building. Gamache said because the building houses so many services, including police, jail, fire department, offices, storage, and assembly chambers, there are multiple concerns about codes. He said the parking bays and doors are not adequate for the fire equipment, the jail and processing area are not up to current standards, the dispatch area is, quote, gnarly, and there are several suspicious and possibly hazardous materials in some of the building's structure. Gamache said he's worked on public buildings across the state, but the Haines Public Safety Building stands out.
In fact, I don't mean this to be spiteful, but I don't think I've seen any public safety buildings anywhere else in the state that are in quite this condition.
Likewise, Gamache outlined several structural and code concerns with the Chilkat Center and the Human Resources Building, which is rented to the Chilkat Valley Preschool. He said he agreed in large part with a condition survey done on the Chilkat Center a few years ago that identifies issues with codes, egress, lack of handicapped access, and major structural concerns. The pool, Gamache said, is a holdover from a once popular design used in Alaska, but not anymore.
This type of aluminum pool with a saltwater system might be one of a few remaining pools in the state. There was a point in time when this was built when this was the hot item, and it was put in a couple places, and I think Haines might be the only place where that pool still exists.
Gamache also looked at how each of the buildings uses energy. He examined the cost to operate each building per year based on current fuel prices. He looked at how the buildings will continue to operate compared to how a renovated or new building would save energy. He said this may not only save money for that particular building, but save energy consumption for the entire community.
Another reason this is really critical is we're learning that the community is sort of maxing out its electrical supply and demand, which is causing you to kick into some diesel generator mode, which is much more expensive. So if we can find a way to tune down the buildings a little bit, that would be a huge improvement on many different levels.
Some of the seven buildings Gamache looked at obviously cost more to operate than others, but some stand out as more energy inefficient. For example, he said it was surprising to see that the visitor center cost as much as it does in energy, considering the size of the space.
You know, the most shocking thing to me was the visitor center this year could potentially run about $12,000 in operating expenses for 1,000 square feet of space. That is a concern as a professional, that maybe the program area should be reallocated to another building, just hypothetically.
But the conversation on energy consumption led to possibilities for energy savings. Gamache calculated out several options for each building, including what it would cost to renovate to an industry standard, renovate and improve the program space, build a new building with the same characteristics, or build a new building with expanded program space. The alternatives varied greatly in cost, but they all seemed to follow one line of reasoning. For each building, there could be a considerable energy cost savings in renovating or building a new building. Like our first example, the public safety building saving $19,000 a year, or the pool saving $51,000 a year if they were renovated or built new. Gamache said those savings could increase even more if some of the buildings were designed to house more than one service or program. Of course, the cost of those renovations or new buildings are also considerable. Gamache estimates a new public safety building with all the bells and whistles and expanded space could cost more than $8 million. A new Chilkat Center could cost between $13 and $16 million. Then again, there's another angle to look at that, Gamache pointed out. If a new Chilkat Center or space similar to it was built with a 50-year lifespan, improved energy efficiency, and what Gamache calls high-performance standards, the borough could save about the same amount in energy costs over the life of the building.
So essentially, hypothetically, if you were to rebuild the Chilkat Center today to current technology and standards and really good design and detailing, your energy savings compared to what you'd be paying right now for the next first 50 years versus a new building for the next 50 years would essentially be a wash. And that's where we're trying to help you guys make a business case for making some of your decisions. Am I suggesting doing that? No. But what I am trying to show you is hypothetical scenarios of facility improvement and how that will affect your community financially for the next 50 years.
As a wrap-up of all his analysis, Gamache created a capital improvement list. He said the list takes into account the technical needs of the buildings, along with the public input on what services and buildings were ranked as most important and effective. That ranking put the public service building in the top spot, followed by the Chilkat Center. The visitor center and museum ranked on the bottom of the list. But Gamache said he avoided providing any direct recommendations or suggestions. He said he's looking to the Facility Steering Committee for further direction. But he said it's really up to the community and borough to decide what direction to take the facilities plan.
The reality of the outcome in 20 years and 50 years might be much worse because all the money you could have spent on upgrades might be, you know, literally out the window in terms of energy going out the window. Just something to consider. So you really have to make a decision as to, is doing something a good idea? Is doing something a bad idea?
Gamache's full report will be available next week. State officials said a magazine article about shellfish incorrectly states when they can be gathered safely. Alaska Magazine's December-January issue includes a first-person story about collecting cockles, a type of clam on shores near Juneau. It includes a warning about paralytic shellfish poisoning, but it says cockles can be dug safely in late fall and winter because colder water keeps PSP-producing algae from blooming. Department of Environmental Conservation Health Officer George Scanlon says that's not the case.
There are no safe months. PSP can occur anytime. And the only way you would know it is to test it and have the lab analyze the animal.
The Departments of Environmental Conservation and Health and Social Services say only commercially grown shellfish is considered safe. That's because of the tests. Checks last week, for example, found some southeast gooey duck clams had toxin levels four times more than what's safe for human consumption. PSP can cause loss of arm and leg control and make breathing difficult. It can kill a person in about 2 hours. Alaska Magazine could not be reached for immediate comment. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.